Ah, sunshine, sunshine. Not a whole lot of that in the UNLV football life right now. This is the Rebel Room. Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer. We got a full house today. LasVegasSun.com. Because it takes three people to explain just what the hell happened last week in Tucson, Arizona. UNLV football off to an 0-1 start. That part not surprising. The fact that they didn't cover the 24-point spread, which actually moved down to 21.5 right before the kickoff, not surprising either. But to me, at least, losing by 45, and oddly enough, at the exact same score that they lost to Arizona the previous year, 58-13, your guys' boy, Anu Solomon, 425 passing yards, could have had nearly 700, according to Coach Rich Rodriguez, and I don't disagree because he missed some open guys. Four touchdowns, set a freshman record for passing yards, had 50 more on the ground. Just an annihilation that was not really clear the entire game, considering it was scoreless 13 minutes in. But like I said, that was kind of, you know, Solomon missing a couple of open guys, at least one touchdown where it was wide open, and just overshot him. But once they got going, UNLV had no answers. My view from the press box was that was hideous arm tackling and just not executing at all on defense. What did you guys see?
Pretty much the same. I mean, I watched the replay at about 2 o'clock in the morning, so I was only half awake, and it was jumping around a bunch.
Oh, wait, but, so were you serious?
Yeah,
you
started... I was totally serious.
So, yeah, when I got back to my hotel in Tucson at like 2 in the morning, I was flipping through, and on ESPN2, they were replaying the game, and it was right at the point. It was still scoreless, so Arizona was just about to put his first touchdown on. So I just tweeted something about it, and Case responded like, oh, thanks, I'm going to watch now. I did not think that that was legitimate.
Yeah, no, it was totally legitimate. The thing is, though, about those games, in the past, I felt like they showed a bunch of it, like, uninterrupted, and they had someone come on and go, now we must skip forward. This one, they were jumping all over
the place.
They
skip a lot.
It would be like 14-7, you come back, and it would be 28-7. I mean, I know that wasn't the score, but you'd miss, like, big chunks of the game. So I only got a little bit of a taste of what happened, but it was enough. The UNLV defense did not look good. Look at these sheer numbers now. Solomon, like you said, our boy, sixth in the nation in passing. Arizona, the top total offense in the country.
Well, yeah, 787 yards will do that.
Second in scoring offense. So, hey, good on the Wildcats. They're lighting up the scoreboard.
All I got to say is you brought up a valid point, Taylor. The score from this year's game was identical to last year's game, right? Bloodbath,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
What happened last year? At the end of the year for UNLV.
They went to a bowl game.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. All the ducks are lined up. Everything's moving forward. They were going to lose the game. It got out of hand. I will say that the defense for UNLV, I don't think was this bad last year, right? They gave up a lot in the run game in last year's game.
Yeah, last year it was they gave up 397 rushing yards, but less than 500 total, talking about just the Arizona game last year. Because it was they had a couple of the return touchdowns. It was kind of in all facets everything went wrong. This one, they just defensively had no – once it started unraveling, they had no answers. Gave up 787, the second most in school history. The only reason that it wasn't the most is Arizona ran out of time. Like, other, they could have just kept doing this all night. But you're right. You know, the next weekend last year, they were down 21-0 to Central Michigan, get a touchdown just before halftime when they switch over to Caleb Herring. And, boom, the rest is history. They come back in that game, starts a four-game winning streak. And that was, you know, that was the turning point for Bobby Houck. That was the turning point for the program for at least, you know, kind of keeping this era together. But I don't see a quarterback change coming. So what's the bounce back to you, other than the fact that, and we'll say, so Northern Colorado coming up this week, they are terrible. This is their first game of the season, so I don't have on-field evidence of them being terrible this season, but they play in the Big Sky in Division I AA. They were picked 13th out of 13 in the Big Sky. It is no good.
Could UNLV get them on the schedule every year?
I really want to know if I'm the only one that thinks this. What do you guys think of when you hear Northern Colorado football? Is it just me? I'm the only one demented enough to remember this. It was like 5 years ago. The punter attacked the other punter and stabbed
him. Oh, yeah. That's all. And he did it. He had the license plate. I think he had a vanity plate that said something about him being a punter. yes. as he was driving away after stabbing the other guy. You're right.
I'm so happy you said that because I remember there's something to do with a license plate, but I was too lazy to look it up and I didn't remember that was how they caught him. So Northern Colorado, really, if they have any tradition in football, it's about the punter attacking the other
punter. I'm definitely going to have to like share that story this week.
Did you guys see who the Northern Colorado quarterback is?
I did not.
Kid from Spring Valley High here in town.
Is it
Well, he's one of their
quarterbacks. Oh, one of their quarterbacks.
The kid Isola coached?
Yeah, Ice Isola.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was also the Kansas – a kid that was on the Kansas roster quarterback. It's his brother. Now I cannot remember his name. Where is it? Oh, yeah, Brant Berglund from Spring Valley, who also actually was really good for Spring Valley High here locally 2 years ago. He only played about three games. I think he tore his ACL. But I definitely don't think he should be starting a Division I game, but talented kid.
You were talking a few seconds ago, and I know we're all over the board. Do you know Houck's record at UNLV? And everybody knows. If anybody in the media, Brewer loves Houck the most.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
13 and something?
39. 13 yeah. and 39, making $700,000 a year. Give me that job, brother.
wow.
Yeah.
That's the most probably the most negative thing I've ever heard you say about Bobby.
Well, I mean, eventually you got to get you got to be sick in your stomach.
Hold on. How are you like going from super Houck, they went winning season bowl game to now pointing out his overall record, which of course is terrible because he had three straight two-win seasons.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that eventually UNLV can't lose by 50 a game. They got to lose by 30 a game to these big schools.
Yeah, I get sure. Listen,
I'm a UNLV grad. I love UNLV football. I have a good rapport with a lot of the locals on the team. I want them to do well, and I still think they're going to a bowl game this year.
Yeah. So what is it? What's going to be the turnaround this week as far as what they have to do? We know the opponent significant step down. But what was? And how much, A, were you able to watch the game? What did you think of Decker making his first start at Division I? To me, it was kind of tough to tell just because they were down so much in the game. There was no running game whatsoever, and we'll get into that in a second. But, you know, just impressions, what did you think of your boy, Blake Decker?
And I think that's why Herring was so good last year, because he didn't have to carry the team on his shoulders.
Yeah. It was Cornette setting everything up.
I thought Decker had to. With that said, the Devontaes both had over 100 yards. Granted, some of that came during scrap time. And I thought Decker did okay. He managed the offense. You know, I think UNLV needed the Northern Colorado game before the Air Force game because
– You mean Arizona?
Yeah. UNLV needed the Arizona game before the Northern Cal.
No.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm talking himself really in circles. What Ray saying. Is trying to say is that he believes that UNLV would have preferred to have the Northern Colorado game before the Arizona
because
game.
Because Decker didn't really get to face any live, you know, nobody was tackling him in practice.
Yeah.
It was at a, you know, he didn't have to worry about getting hit. Now all of a sudden.
He didn't have to worry about anything after seeing that defense.
Yeah. So
the sad thing is the defense actually looked okay at parts in camp.
My bad.
So the book is still out on Decker, obviously. I think more alarming, the parts of the game I did see were just some poor blown assignments defensively. Guys in the wrong spot and guys making bad decisions. And, okay, give up a bunch of yardages and a bunch of points, and I'm going to try my hardest to make an excuse for you because I love the Scarlet and Gray. But some of the plays that they gave up, you were just like, why and how or what? What happened there? Because this is a year where you have winnable games, but you can't make those mental mistakes.
Yeah.
Football's all about being in the right spot at the right time.
But to me, I feel like they were in the right spot a lot, and then it was a complete failure to make a play once they were there. You know, the first scoring drive, the Arizona's on their own 4-yard line, nothing. Penny Vea gets to the right spot to tackle the running back, breaks contain, throws an arm out, doesn't stop him. Two plays later, touchdown at the other end. That was a 41-yard play, and then they ended up just beating Kenny Keyes real bad in the corner. So that's an example of just a blown assignment there. It looked like he was expecting help over the top, and there was nothing. But then a couple of times, you're right, one was Penny Vea, the other one I can't remember exactly, but just short crossing routes, the guys jump the route, try and either pick it or just once they go for the ball and miss it, they're trying to make that tackle right away, fail, and then the guy is just off to the races. That happened twice. That cannot happen. I think UNLV's defense needs to be more, at least right now, probably more focused on avoiding giving up the big play than making their own big play. Now, maybe that's wrong. Maybe the only way that they're going to be productive is getting turnovers. They're going to take their yard, get run over at certain points, but then they're going to make enough turnovers eventually, or kind of big hits, something like that, that, that outweighs it. But to me, it's more just put a Band-Aid on it or something for right now. And that's – but I guess if you're looking for promising things out of the defense, to me it was that they got to the right spot a lot of the time. They just, against a team that's, better than them at most positions, they just failed to make the stop over and over. And once Arizona scored on the first play of the third quarter, I think UNLV's backs were just completely broken.
Okay, two things. One is, as you know, I love Solomon. I've covered him. I wrote about him for the first time when he was an eighth grader. Covered him all the way through Gorman, four straight to state titles. Kid's got a real dynamic personality, obviously very talented. I thought that he would struggle a little more than he did. And I don't know if that's A, he is as good as I thought he was, or B, UNLV's defense is in some serious trouble. Not sure. Mike, go ahead. You had a question.
I think he's good as you thought you were, is my guess, just because looking at the other guys they had on this roster that he had to beat out to get the quarterback job, I mean, he would have been like the third choice probably if we were setting odds on it. So I'm really not panicking on the UNLV defense yet.
Okay.
Yet.
Yeah. I was shocked that he won the job as well.
787.
Not panicking.
I don't think any of us are panicking. It's one game against a team that they were, more than three touchdown dogs to. And once the floodgates opened, okay, it was just over. So the final yardage, as funny as you can make it, because that's a ridiculous amount, it doesn't, I don't think it should be a complete indictment either.
Okay, one point and then one question for you, Taylor. My point is that in Bobby's initial few seasons, they were playing Arizona basically every week. They were playing Wisconsin, TCU.
The first two seasons. That's kind of how the schedule shaped up.
The third season, they lost.
It started to get to fringe, and then last year it was easier. Yeah.
So for whatever it's worth, with the exception of one more game, right, Utah State or Houston, with the exception of the Houston game, UNLV should be able to compete in every remaining game.
Wait, you should be more worried about Utah State than Houston, I think.
Oh, hypothetical. Either way.
And their schedule is very manageable. I see like four losses. Easy.
I disagree with that San Diego State. I don't know.
They're going to go to San Diego. Everybody write it down, because Gray and I think are going to have to put something on this. They are going to go to San Diego State and lose probably by more than two touchdowns.
You're giving me plus 50.
No, I am not giving you those points, but I think that's what the outcome will be. We'll wait.
Well, how do you set a line?
We'll wait for the actual spread.
Oh, so
because last time I made a spread super early, and David Fales let me down.
David Fales.
Hey, San Jose State still
with the Bears, didn't he?
He's not on the team.
He got
anymore.
Cut.
Yes.
He looked good in preseason.
They decided to keep Jimmy Clausen for some reason. Anyway,
Notre Dame guy in Chicago. Listen, here's my question. This is very important. Did UNLV quit, or did they fight all the way through? You were there. You saw firsthand.
And they quit. The defense quit.
The defense quit.
Yeah.
That's disheartening for me.
Yeah. I can see that.
It's not the fight and the dog. It's the dog and the fight.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I just want to get some action down. I'll give you like 12 right now with UNLV. 12 at San Diego State. Plus 12.
He just said two touchdowns.
That's pretty close. I was coming in the middle.
You give me 15, I'll take it for a
moment. No, 15 is not. That's totally not fair. The 15,
not fair. You
that's
guys,
wait,
you
think they're gonna win?
You think they're gonna win the game, and you're asking for 15 points?
All right, I'll do 12 and a half.
No, 12. Don't you fist bump that? 12.
12.
All right, 12.
What are we going for? The sandwich over Thunderbird.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's our place. All right, 12. I think the line right now is probably like 10.
Okay.
So you probably got some value on that.
Did you guys see, while we're talking Mountain West, did you guys see the Hawaii-Washington game at all?
No. Saw that it was 1 point.
It was close.
It was close. I don't know if UNLV wins at Hawaii now. I thought Hawaii was going to be worse than
terrible. Well, we'll see. In 2 weeks, Northern Iowa goes there with a very legitimate chance to win. So we'll see how it goes. That'll be the – and also then UNLV's – they're both doing each other a favor. Then UNI plays Northern Colorado later this year. So they'll study the tape of UNLV. UNLV can study the tape from Northern Iowa. There you go.
Taylor's a Northern Iowa fan.
In case you didn't know.
I love how much we get off topic, but I was talking to Jay Cornegay Saturday, and I didn't have a chance to use this till now. That Hawaii decision was the biggest of the day for the sportsbooks. So congrats to the sportsbooks.
What decision?
Just if Hawaii wouldn't have covered, they would have lost a ton.
Because everybody has UW.
Yeah, everyone was just betting Washington.
But it was a one-point game, and wasn't it like a 17-point spread?
Well, no, it was going into the game. I talked to him, and he said, we really, really need Hawaii tonight, or it's going to be brutal.
That's funny. But yeah, getting back to UNLV as they head into the second game, another thing to watch is going to be that running game. Keith Whiteley was the first guy to get carries. He fumbled in the red zone in the second quarter, did not get another carry. He's in trouble. David Green had been hurt.
Didn't he fumble in the bowl game too?
Yes, he did.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
David Green, who had been the converted defensive player, figured to be the top back just based on reps and practice and that, but he had been hurt throughout fall camp or for a portion of fall camp, and so they were kind of working him in. He only got three carries against Arizona. I expect that to go up, and he may even end up being the main guy here. George Nafahu, I don't think I got that quite right, but I'm going to make sure I get it, that I know it for sure by next week. He is kind of the bruising back, didn't really do much of anything against Arizona, but saw some things I like from him in camp. He'll kind of keep going, but it's going to be those three, particularly for this week, I think, Green and then Nafahu. And who am I not mentioning, Ray? Shaq Mu. So far down the list. I don't know exactly what he did. I think it's just that he came back from summer and offseason just out of shape.
He pulled the Ron Scoggins.
I say, from what we know, it is not the fumbling issues he had last year. It is something else, but he is very much in Bobby's doghouse. So that's doghouse. You know,
as long as I'm not in the doghouse.
Honestly, just as concerning to the defense, and I know they didn't really get a chance to go after it, but the times I saw them try to run the ball was just they got nothing. So I asked you first thing today, should we be worried about the run game? Because really, I mean, it looked, I thought, dreadful a little bit I got to see. Like I said, the tape was moving around a bunch.
It wasn't good.
Obviously, they were getting blown out, but it wasn't pretty.
Decker was the leading rusher.
Would Adonis Smith factor into the run game?
Good. I mean, it's just kind of it's a bunch of guys right now. Mm-hmm. We're really not going to get a clear picture for probably another few weeks as far as like who's going to be the one to finally emerge from it. But I always thought just having him around would have been fine, but
apparently not. He carried two times for 3 yards or something for Arizona.
Yeah, there was one, the breakaway touchdown at the end where the guy like didn't get touched. I think he was a freshman for Arizona when it started. I really thought and was hoping that was Adonis Smith.
Why?
Because Bobby.
That's mean-hearted.
Because Bobby was taking shots at him during the week.
Ah, that's Bobby. Listen, I was shocked at the outcome. I thought UNLV would lose, as you guys did. I didn't think it'd be that bad. I didn't think the defense would be that poor, especially since Bobby's brother, Tim Houck, an NFL guy, is calling the defense. I mean, that's an eyesore to give up that many yards.
Yeah, they got a lot to fix. For their sake, hopefully it at least looks a lot better this week. That won't necessarily mean that, you know, they've kind of made the appropriate adjustments and things like that, but it should look a lot better. They're laying like 21.5, which to go from 24-point dogs, lose by 45, to turn around and be 21-point favorites, that tells you how bad Northern Colorado is.
On my recruiting beat, I've written about kids that have gone to the Big Sky, and none of them deserve to be playing. You know, some of them aren't even good enough to be on our preseason 28-member team. So if Northern Colorado's the worst team in the Big Sky.
I will say, hey, Big Sky has two of the top five teams in 1AA this year, sir.
Who are they?
Montana and Eastern Washington.
Isn't North Dakota State usually good?
They're in Missouri Valley.
Is that who beat Iowa State this week?
Yeah, they handed it to them. I hate North Dakota State.
All right.
Speaking of Northern, I hate North Dakota State. Craig Bohl now in the Mountain West. Got his first win with Wyoming. Had to squeak it out against Bobby Houck's former Grizzlies. Anyway, that is enough tangents for this episode of The Rebel Room. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully, our performance was better than UNLV's 45-point drubbing. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor. We'll talk to you guys next week. Sunshine is fine. I feel it in my skin, warming up my mind. Sometimes you gotta give in to win. I love the days when it shines.